Good to see you this morning. That last song, it sounded like everybody was happy as they were singing. That's great. Great to hear. Family news on the back, that Bible Bite is not related to our topic this morning. As I mentioned 2 weeks ago, the topic 2 weeks ago was three common idols in churches, and that Bible Bite was somewhat related to it, but today it's not. This morning, we're going to start out by quoting a blogger. Do you know what a blogger is? It's one who writes, often it has to do with writing, and posting articles on particular subjects or topics. This is online, so we're talking the internet, for those of you who are not internet savvy. So I'm quoting from one of those, and a Bible teacher, I guess he would call himself. I love to study the Bible. I'm quoting. But recently, my Bible study led me to a surprising conclusion. We should quit telling people to study the Bible and start telling them to meditate on and delight in it. This is what happened. I was teaching a class on how to study the Bible, and in preparation, I decided to look at what the Bible itself has to say about Bible study. I was jarred by what I discovered. The Bible says almost nothing about studying the Bible. Very often, we are told in the Bible to obey and meditate on Scripture. And there are many passages that tell us to remember and not forget God's Word and God's acts or works. But study the Bible? It is almost never mentioned in all of Scripture, unquote. And so in your family news, the title of this morning's talk, I think, says, "Don't study the Bible." Stop studying the Bible. Did that just to kind of shock us a little bit. He mentions, let's stop telling people to study the Bible. And at first I thought there's no difference in that and stop telling the people, but there's a little bit of difference. The idea is not to stop studying, but let's move from this concept of study a little bit. We immediately think of 2 Timothy 2:15, don't we? Study to show thyself approved unto God, and show is S-H-E-W. So where's that coming from? King James Version. Study to show thyself approved to God. King James Version. Poor translation of the Greek there, folks. Some modern translations render be diligent to present yourself approved to God. That's the New American Standard. Matter of fact, the New King James Version reads, be diligent to present yourself approved to God. And some other modern translations, I was surprised at this, many read it, do your best to present yourself approved to God. Make every effort to present yourself approved to God. So the word study there is a poor translation. The key emphasis in the Bible itself on relating to it is not to study it, but the idea is to meditate on it, delight in it, ponder it. That word's in the Bible. Even in the context we're dealing with this morning, ponder it, obey it, not forget it. Do not forget it. A quick word search on the words study. You know how many times you're going to find it? 4. And you can throw the one out in 2 Timothy 2 because that's a poor translation. So 3. 3 times you find the word study. However, the word delight, many more times than that. The word meditate, more times than 3. The word obey, many more times than three. And here's where I always like to qualify. When we're delighting and meditating and pondering the Word of God and we come across the concept of obey, let's keep in mind it's not the obedience that is a means to justify ourselves, but is to demonstrate our trust in the justifier. As far as I know, I made that up, and I like it. Not as a means to justify ourselves, but to demonstrate our trust in the justifier. That's the concept of faith, folks. And is faith found in from Genesis through Revelation? Yeah, it is. That's the way God makes man righteous, is through faith. Let's get back to our problem. The problem is that we are forgetful. That's a human tendency, right? To be forgetful. That's the problem. It's not that we're stupid, is it? A few smiles. It's not that we're stupid. And the issue is not that we need to learn more Bible. That's not the issue. Because the issue is quite a few of us, many of us, know quite a bit of the Bible. The problem is we don't enjoy it. We don't let it soak in. I like that phrase. Really, that's more of what meditating is all about, soaking it in and absorbing it. Marinating is another one I like. Marinating in it. We don't marinate ourselves in His words. And therefore, when we don't soak in the Word of God, we forget it and we don't apply it. So it's not that we need to learn more Bible. We just need to delight in it, ponder it, and meditate upon it more. Because when we forget it and we don't apply it, then we often miss the abundant life to which it's calling us. I assume that's why many of you here are gathered together with other believers, right? Because you believe in that abundant life that Jesus Christ has to offer. The key passage in all of the Bible on how we should treasure God's Word is right there, Psalm 119. It's that 176 verse acrostic on why and how we should love Scripture. And have you ever noticed, I don't know if you've been reading through it lately, but have you ever noticed that it does not mention studying the Bible once? But what do you find as you skim and scan through there? 17 times you find obeying Scripture. 17 times in Psalm 119. 8 times speaks of meditating on God's words and His works. We'll put that together, His words and His works. Notice, for example, verses 97 through 101. We could read it like this. Oh, how I love your law. I meditated on it all day long. Your commands are always with me. Make me wiser than my enemies. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. Is that how we read and study the Bible? No, it should be more, oh, how I love your law. It doesn't say David wrote this at the beginning in the ancient text. Does it? No? The beginning of Psalm 119. I don't know who put all this together, but can you see the emotion as he's writing it through the Spirit? Oh, how I love your law, how I meditate on it all day long. Your commands are always with me and make me wiser than mine enemies. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than all the elders, for I obey your precepts. I have kept my feet from every evil path so that I might obey your word. That's just a snippet out of 119. There's twice you see meditate in there, once love and twice obey. You know, folks, the problem with encouraging people to study the Bible
is that most people hate study. Kind of like this guy. Do I have to study? Look, he's just drowning in books. Drowning in books. I would imagine most of you, and many people outside this building, maybe even if they're unbelievers, would heartily agree with the which reads, of making many books there is no end, and much study wearies the body. If you're in the New American, you're going to find excessive devotion, but many translations say study, much study wearies the body. Do we agree with that? Well, it's right out of the Bible. When we urge people to study Scripture, study. Let's have a Bible study. Let's study. You need to study. Study Scripture. We are implying that it's a textbook, and that and through that, people are repulsed. Because who likes to read textbooks? If I had a pile of novels here, whether they're fiction or nonfiction, and then over here, there's a pile of textbooks up to here. And, over, and here's the nonfiction or fiction. How many of you prefer to choose a book out of here and read it? Raise your hand. Just, okay. How many of you prefer the textbook? No hands. Except Taylor. And there's always an odd one in the bunch. So, textbooks. In your lifetime, maybe you could summarize what you've heard many, many times from teachers and preachers, maybe even elders. It's summarized this way. Read the text, study the text, take the tests, and go to heaven. That's pretty much Christianity, isn't it? Oh, man. It's important to read the text, that's for sure, and take a deep look at it. But there's so much more richness and deepness attached to it. We've got to ask ourselves, why are we doing that? And how about this approach? Hey, whom am I reading about? Or about whom am I reading? The answer is Jesus, overall. That's the theme here. Does he relate to me? Sure does, doesn't he? Does he possess the power to eliminate your guilt, heal your broken spirit, give you an abundant life right now, and give you hope for an abundant afterlife? The answer is yes. And that's what we want to anchor all of our reading and studying, if I could use that word. Anchor that on that particular foundation, and then there's so much more that he offers us. The treasures of Christ are incredible. This here, folks, I don't know if you knew it, especially those maybe just beginning to assemble with us, this here has the answers to every single one of life's problems. The solutions to every single one of life's problems, whether it's money or how to get along with your neighbor, how to get along with other brethren, what you should think, what you should wear, how you should talk. I mean, the list goes on, doesn't it? On and on. Let's go back to that blogger. His name's Jim Eglin, I believe. Quote, I recently asked on Facebook, what is the first thing that comes to your mind when you hear the word study? I was hoping that at least 10 people would respond, and I was shocked that over 100 did. Some people reported feelings of joy when they heard the word study. Really? Feelings of joy when you hear the word study. Well, I'm not in that category. Many offered words like, ugh, stress, boring, dread, anxiety, and exhaustion. Kind of that guy right there, isn't it? That's what he looks like, exhausted. Continue quoting. Don't get me wrong. I am not saying that Bible study is bad. It is a wonderful thing, but the word study repulses most people. And careful Bible study itself reveals that study is not the primary way we are supposed to absorb and respond to God's words. Now, that last sentence, you'll have to take it and examine that statement. Study it. Instead, he says, we're invited to ponder, to meditate, to delight, and obey it. Now, folks, here's an opinion thing. IMO, in my opinion, let me submit to you, we emphasize study in our lifetime. Study's been emphasized because we emphasize knowledge. I don't know how many times I've heard, especially older gentlemen, wise gentlemen and men, make the statement that emotion needs to be founded and anchored on knowledge. You know what? They're right. Emotion needs to have some direction. I've heard that so much. I've heard that taught so much and pounded so much that I think it's pretty much killed emotion amongst us. We don't even know how to express it in many ways, except through song, and sometimes that sounds pretty dead. In other words, it creates robotic Christians, is what I think has happened over the years. There's two extremes with knowledge. One of them is expressed in Hosea, that's your Old Testament, Hosea 4 through 6. Daniel, you're my reader on that? Could you stand and read that? Hosea 4, 6.
My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you've rejected knowledge, I also reject you for being my priest.
Oh, okay. His people are being destroyed for lack of knowledge. Go ahead and read 6, 6. All right, that translation said the acknowledgement of God. Some of yours read the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. This is BC 700 to 600. Judah and Israel had difficulty connecting with the Lord. They were going to be destroyed because of their lack of knowledge of the Lord. So there's on the one hand. On the other hand, you slide down the timeline to when Paul was writing through the Spirit, and you get to 2 Corinthians 8:1. Actually, that's 1 Corinthians 8:1. Lysander, could you read that for me?
About food offerings to idols, we know that we have all knowledge inflates with pride, but love builds up.
Okay. Was that, which one was that? 8?
1 Corinthians 8:1.
Yeah. So, knowledge, read it one more time, Lysander. Knowledge. 8:1.
Okay. Knowledge inflates with pride.
Inflates with pride. I think that's NIV. That's a good translation. Context there is not considering the consciences of others, really. And it's specifically worshiping or eating meat sacrificed to idols. But the idea is not being aware of the consciences of others. And so knowledge can inflate with pride. Plucking that out of context, Lysander, read 1 Corinthians 13, verse 2, please.
If I have the gift of prophecy and know all my mysteries and knowledge, if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing.
Yeah, did you catch that, folks? If I know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have even all faith, but do not have love, I am nothing. So there's a contrast there between a bunch of study and a bunch of knowledge contrasted with love. Now you might ask, well then how much knowledge should we have? And folks, I don't think it's a matter of how much. I think it's more of the quality of knowledge, wouldn't you say? The kind of knowledge. Is it the knowledge which springboards us or catapults us into a
heart transformation by the Spirit. Many of our lessons in the past few months have been getting us to focus on heart transformation. Brethren, that's where the rubber meets the road when we're talking about our connection with God the Father, Jesus Christ. Heart transformation. The seed should not remain in the ground, figuratively speaking. How many of you are planting vegetable gardens and flower gardens right now? Huh? Too early. But you will be pretty soon. Some of you have greenhouses. You put those seeds in there. Flowers, plants, vegetables, doesn't matter. What are you going to do in July when you go out there and look at your gardens or your greenhouse and nothing's come up? Are you going to be elated? Are you going to be disappointed? Absolutely. That seed needs to start growing and busting forth. It should grow into a tree of the Spirit. We're talking about the spiritual seed should be busting out into that Spirit tree. Kind of relating back to Daniel's lessons on the tree, how important that this figure is. Bust out in Spirit fruit. And that involves attitudes and actions. Where do we learn about Spirit fruit? Anybody? Galatians 5, especially 22. And the first one listed there is love. That is an attitude action word. There's several attitude action words in that presentation of Spirit fruit there. Some of them are just attitude, emotion, like joy, I think, is more that way, peace even. There's patience. That involves action. So does kindness and goodness. Faithfulness is definitely an attitude action word. And then there's gentleness and self-control, attitude and action. These things, brethren, are the end result of knowledge. They're the application of knowledge, and it starts right here in the heart. That's why we're talking about heart transformation. Go with me to John 5. Oh, there's our 1 Corinthians 8 and 13. Go with me to John 5, 37. John 5, 37. And you know what? This is one place where you do find the word study, especially in the NIV. The New American's going to use the word search. And it reads like this, John 5, 37. Everybody there? And the Father who sent me has himself testified concerning me. You have never heard his voice nor seen his form. He's talking to Jews here. Nor does his word dwell in you, for you do not believe the one he sent. Who's the one he sent? Jesus, that's correct. You study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life. Whoa, whoa, whoa. What's the danger here, folks? The danger is thinking that he's only addressing the Jews. And in the immediate context, that is his audience. But the danger is thinking that there's nothing in here for us. That's danger number one. And another part of danger number one is thinking that he's just referring to the study of the law of Moses, which he is in their case. But we get to thinking, well, we believe in Jesus and they don't, so this doesn't apply to us. And there comes lurking in the background danger number two. And that is taking pride in the study of the scriptures. Not just what they were studying, but the entire Bible. Taking pride in it. And here's the point, folks, where study becomes the means to life. Where studying and acquiring knowledge becomes the means to life. Is that true? No, it should be the content of that. But we turn that. Remember 2 weeks ago we talked about common idols in the church? Well, this would be one of them. Study and knowledge is worn as a badge, just like the Jews did. Their ancestry was a badge. Their traditions
Work, I bet. That was one of the common idols in churches, remember? The past. And I never used the word tradition 2 weeks ago, but I'm bringing it in today because that's part of the past. That can become an idol, is tradition. But don't focus on that. That wasn't their main problem. Their main problem was making themselves right. Justifying themselves right on the basis of what they knew and who they were. To quote Pink Floyd from the 1970s, 80s band, album The Wall, there's a track on there titled Comfortably Numb. Is that where we are, folks? Let's exhort one another not to be comfortably numb and relying on our knowledge and our fantastic study of the Bible. Making traditions and self-righteousness our idol and numbing us. If we have very little of the love of God in us, brethren, then what good is it? Do you see? That's exactly what he gets to here. Verse 41, I do not accept glory from human beings, but I know you. I know that you do not have the love of God in your hearts. Now, here in Mount Vernon, we praise one another, and I think rightly so, for demonstrating love towards one another. And that's great. My question for you is, can that be expanded in any way? Have we reached our max? We're very loving internally. Are we showing that love outside of our internal group in any way? Our extended family, our neighbors, our friends, our coworkers? Are we sharing the love of God? I want you to stay awake with me. This last point here, Ezekiel. Ezekiel 33. Ezekiel 33. Who was Ezekiel? He's a prophet. Prophet not only foretells the future, but a prophet is a spokesman for God. And it's right in the middle of the three waves of Judah being taken into captivity, and he's still telling them and reminding them why they're in captivity. Ezekiel 33, verse 30. Boy, that whole chapter makes me quake, but this one here makes me tremble. Verse 30. As for you, son of man. Now, God is talking to Ezekiel, okay? Your people are talking together about you by the walls and at the doors of the houses and saying to each other, come and hear the message that has come from the Lord. That's what they say. Come, hear the message. Come, 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 come. And the Lord says, my people come to you as they usually do, and they sit before you to hear your words. Now today, that'll be you. Put yourself in their shoes. But they do not put them into practice. I hope that's not you. Their mouths speak of love, but their hearts are greedy for unjust gain. Indeed, and I hope that's not us either. Indeed, to them, you are nothing more than one who sings love songs with beautiful voice and plays an instrument well, for they hear your words but do not put them into practice. That's hard hitting, isn't it? Man alive. They hear your words, but do not put them into practice. You know, brethren, I can't force you to do the opposite of that, but I can encourage you and remind you of this scripture and encourage you not to imitate these people. It could be this woman here and this woman here and this one back here. I don't know their hearts. Maybe they are hearing God's words, but not practicing them, and then maybe they are. These guys here are more of what Isaiah says. You have ears, but you don't hear. That's these sleeping dudes here. That's more. That goes to Isaiah. Let's run away from what Ezekiel is being told here about the people. Instead, let's convert it into hear these words
and put them into practice. Amen? How about that one? May our hearts not only speak of love, but may we pour it out to our brethren, may we pour it out to the ungodly, may we pour it out to unbelieving seekers and even our enemies. Amen? Let's not just speak of the love of God. That's what they were doing here in Ezekiel 33. So wrapping this up, there are parts, many parts and sections of the Bible which we can understand just by reading. For example, up there you have Genesis, Exodus chapters 1 through 20. You have Joshua, Judges, 1 Samuel, 2 Chronicles, all the what we call the history books, many of the Psalms, and all of the Proverbs. And then you have Matthew through Acts. I am confident that you can pick those up and just read them, and you can understand them, especially the Proverbs. Proverbs, you don't really know have to know a lot about the rest of the Bible. You pick one up, read it, and you can apply it that day, probably that minute, usually. Like I've said back in September, I'm assuming there's some of you here in this group who do not read the Bible for yourselves. You rely on the sermon-giving type of approach. I'm going to encourage you not to do that. Let's read the Bible for yourself. When you read the prophets and when you read Paul's letters and when you read Revelation, it's helpful to understand the timeline that the Bible sits on. And it's helpful to know a little outside history. And it's helpful to know some ancient geography. And even knowing how to define some words from the original Hebrew and Greek is helpful. And you know what that is? That's Bible study. And I'm not bashing that. That is good. You have to do that with those letters in particular. Paul and the prophets in the Old Testament. You have to know where they fit into the Bible timeline. But as a teacher and as a shepherd here in this group, I'm going to change my language from now on. And I'm going to change it from let's have Bible study to let's meditate, delight in, ponder, and obey God's scriptures. This is all about growing in our faith. Amen, brethren? Growing in our faith and love towards God and towards mankind. So let's be genuine disciples. Disciple can be defined as follower, but also means learner. Are you a learner? Where we're not only learning, but practicing the love of God. Anybody here today that would love to learn more about God? You're maybe you're seeking. You're not a believer yet. Come and talk to us. We can assist you in learning more about the love of Christ. So let's quit telling one another to do Bible study and let's delight in it, let's ponder it, and let's meditate upon it as much as we can. Turn off the TV once in a while, put the hobbies away, and enjoy and soak it in the wonderful words of God. Amen? Let's stand.